Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Ho-ho, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, hour number three of the program. Another very, very fast-paced show, especially with the word coming down about an hour before I went on the air. The Houston Astros, boy, talk about blowing up their organization today. Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred came out and suspended Jeff Lunau, the general manager, a year without pay. Suspended manager A.J. Hinch, a year without pay. Brandon Tomban, who worked in their front office, he gets a year vacation without pay. The organization was fined $5 million. They forfeit both their first and second round draft picks in 2020 and 2021. And then Jim Crane, the owner and chairman of the Houston Astros, took it one step further. He fires both Jeffrey Lunau and A.J. Hinch. Now they're looking for a GM, they're looking for a manager, and they're looking to gain back respect from baseball fans all over, including their own. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Everyone's got an opinion. I mentioned you want to at least slow things down. You go out and you hire Bruce Bochy. You talk him out of retirement. You bring him in to be the manager. Alex Cora, on the other hand, who was a bench coach in 2017, his fingerprints are all over this 9-page report. He did not face any discipline today. Right now, he's obviously the manager of the Boston Red Sox. Now that the Houston Astro punishment's been laid down, now Major League Baseball is taking a good hard look at the 2018 Boston Red Sox. So if Alex Cora, if he is found guilty there, and with what they know he did in Houston, oh boy, he may be out for a long period of time, and the Boston Red Sox may be looking for a new manager as well. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, Scott Miller, national baseball writer, Bleacher Report. He's been on this story all morning long. He'll be able to give us some insight. And, of course, want to get to your phone calls as well. Let's get out to Richard in Hillcrest. Richard, thanks for waiting. You're on with Coach John Contreras on 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Hey, Coach, how are you? Happy New Year to you, man.
Hey, right back at you, and appreciate the phone call. We're not that far away from pitchers and catchers reporting.
There you go, Coach. Hey, Coach, I had a couple points to make, if I could, real briefly. Back when I first started playing a game back in the 70s, I was taught you win and lose on the field by your ability, and you're taught ability by your coaches, and they're men of integrity, and they teach you the game the right way.
Yep.
What I'm seeing now is a lack of integrity, not just from the general manager or the coach. I'm seeing it from the players. So I have a couple of questions on that.
Okay.
Is winning that much important that you're going to put another stain on the game of baseball? If Alex Cora is found to be in trouble with the Red Sox now, how would you like to be a Dodger fan right now or a Dodger player? 2 years in a row, you get to the World Series. You fight your hearts out for 2 years to make it there. And possibly for 2 years, the game was taken away from you by cheating. How would you like to be a player or a fan for that team, that organization?
Well, I'd be baseball. Very disappointed. I'd be very upset, more so as a player than I would probably be as a fan, because, you know, I'm not the guy going down there, you know, 6-7 hours before every day and putting in all the blood, sweat, and tears. And you get there 2 years in a row and you find out they're using technology to beat me. I'd have a real problem with that. And if I'm a fan of the Dodgers, I'm certainly upset.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But you know what? You know what? Here's the deal, Richard. I'm upset if I'm having to play 19 games a year against Houston and knowing that they cheated And, you know, if maybe if I had won, you know, four or five more of those games, I'd have been in the wild card hunt and maybe made a playoff as well. I mean, so everybody in baseball was affected at this one way or the other.
Yep. I think integrity is what's lacking right now, and we need to bring it back.
Well, you know what? Integrity is lacking in a lot of areas, not just baseball in our country right now.
That's true. Very, that's a good statement right there, Coach. And with that, I'm going to let you go. Have a great day.
All righty, Richard, I appreciate that. And I was telling Braden during the break, I mean, you know, you got to be a man of integrity. I mean, I'm not going to do anything that is going to, you know, hopefully embarrass this radio station, this radio program, or what I've tried to build over the last 30 years. You do things in a the right way. And, you know, if you're going to cheat on the field, be at the old gamesmanship. Watch as the catcher shifting on breaking balls, as he's sitting quiet on fastballs, as he's putting his fingers down too low that the first base coach can figure out what's coming. I mean, little things like that. That's gamesmanship. That's part of. That's like being an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, and you watch the eyes of an offensive lineman when they come out of a huddle or they come to the line of scrimmage. Are they gazing down the line because they're looking to see who they block? If they're looking straight ahead, chances are they're blocking straight ahead at you. That's one of the first things my dad taught me when I was playing football. Watch the eyes of the offensive lineman when they come out of the huddle or they come to the line of scrimmage, because a lot of times they'll give away where they're going before the ball's ever snapped. Little things like that, that's gamesmanship. That's not flat-out cheating. Let's get out to David in Carlsbad. David, thanks for waiting. You're on with Coach John Quintero. Welcome to the program today. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Coach. The last caller, that was my question, too, the whole thing. The game's played on the field. So
right.
How does a manager in the dugout, spilling signs, translate to a batter in the box hitting what he can't see?
Did you ever go online, and it's John Boy, Braden and I saw that the very first day he came out. They had these signals, had a guy in center field that would relay things to a guy that was actually in the aisleway of the clubhouse, and he was banging a drum, and one bang meant a certain pitch, or two bangs meant a second pitch.
Absolutely. I mean, I get that. That's fine. But you still got to hit the ball.
Oh, I agree with that.
You still got to be man enough to stand in there with a pitcher that's throwing 103-mile-an-hour fastballs at you. You got to stand in there and hit that ball. And that, when the Dodgers, I get it, the rotation got them. The rotation. It was go on the road, win a game, come home, lose a game. So the game seven was at home for the Dodgers. It was like they had it came up to no choice. They was going to lose that game regardless because the rotation got them.
I understand that. And, you know, they're not going to take the World Series away from them. But, you know, I want to go back because I was a baseball player once upon a time. And believe me, if I knew a fastball was coming opposed to a slider, believe me, major league hitters are going to hit them more times than not. If they know a ball is coming, maybe, you know, it's a fastball. Now, location plays a part in it as well. But if you can not even worry about a changeup or a breaking ball, you can just focus in on a fastball, you're going to have a pretty good swing on it. More times than not, you may catch up with it.
That might be true in some instances. But those pitchers are really good at switching up on you.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? The Astros had more knowledge than the pitchers. Nobody knew they were doing this. That's why it didn't happen.
Absolutely.
Nobody knew about it in 2017. We find out, and we're in 2020 right now.
Okay, so then my next question becomes, how does a batter sitting at home watching a pitcher's release on film, and then goes to the game and he studied this pitcher, or a pitcher studying a batter's swing, where do we draw the line here? It's like, it's going to be electronic. It's the information age. Every base has a camera. All the dugouts have a camera. Every fan in the stand has a camera. There's cameras there. The announcer looking down at the batter knows the signs. He says, oh, there's the 1-2, or there's this pitch, here's this pitch coming.
Well, you know, like I said right from the get-go, when this all came out, you take technology completely out of the game. There's no TVs on in the clubhouse. There's no instant replay in the dugout. Nobody out there in center field can, you know, be out there with any type of a computer. You got to just eliminate it. I mean, and everything should be focused on what's going on inside those white lines, okay? But they flat out cheated. Baseball ran an investigation. They realized that they cheated. They had an unfair competitive advantage, and they nailed their ass, and they nailed their ass very good today.
Yeah, they punished them.
So, hey, we'll see. I'm anxious to see, David. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen with Alex Cora. Yeah, he may be out forever. I mean, who knows how what they're going to do to him, because his fingerprints are all over this Astros situation, and I would certainly think they've got a pretty good idea that he was a culprit there in Boston. So he'd be a two-time offender. Boy, I'll tell you what, he got to be shaking in his boots right now.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, good conversation. Thanks so much for the phone call today. I look forward to hearing from you again.
I appreciate it, Coach. See ya.
Yeah, good stuff there. And you know, I appreciate David. I mean, I remember one time, Braden, I'll tell you a funny story. I only did this once in my entire baseball career. I was a junior in high school. I was going against a guy from Poway High School, a guy named Dave Holston. He was a hard-throwing right-hander. And somebody said, move up in the box. I've never, ever moved up in the box, okay? So I decide, you know what? I'm going to move up in the box, because I thought he was throwing a slider. He threw a fastball. It looked like 118 miles an hour by me, and I never saw it. I went to the dugout, and that was the last time I ever, in all the years that I continued to play baseball, that I moved up in the box. I found a spot where I was comfortable in the box and could hit every pitch for the most part, but I'll never forget that. Dave Holston, he eventually became one of my teammates when I played on this Dynamite ball club for 3 summers over in Escondido. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Cora. I mean, he may be out forever.
So, I mean, a repeat offender. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to see what comes out with the Red Sox.
I wonder how long it's going to take on this, too. They going to get it done before spring training?
I bet you it's quicker than the last one. Now that they got everything. I mean, most of the stuff that they have on Cora is probably from the Astros anyway, and I'm sure they're just probably going to do their due diligence on the Red Sox.
I love that word, due diligence. I love that.
Due diligence. That's a word of the offseason.
Yeah. You know, we haven't even got to talk about being down at Petco Park the other day. I mean, what a fun time down there. I'm so glad I was a part of that the other day. I can't tell you. I planned on going down there for about an hour and a half.
You almost didn't go.
I almost didn't
go. Earlier in the week, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to go down there.
Well, you know what? I didn't know that Adam wanted us to go, and then he told us at our meeting on Thursday. And I go, man, I got some things to do, but, you know, I'm going to try to get down there. And, you know, you and I, we were there. The gates didn't open till 10. You and I were in the parking lot by 10 after 9.
Yeah, I was there early, and good thing we got there early, otherwise we wouldn't have been able to talk with Chris Paddock.
Yeah, Paddock's working on throwing that breaking ball into a net right now, working on that rotation.
If closing you missed his our, eyes?
Huh?
Closing his eyes.
Trying to get that little feel. We talked to Zach Davies a little bit. We got a chance to visit with Lucchese a little bit. We got a real good opportunity to visit with Luis Patino the other day. Boy, what a nice guy he is, huh?
Yeah, nice kid. Good talking to him.
Got a visit with Greg Garcia and our man Trent Grisham the other day that we had on the air. Yeah, it was a great Saturday for Braden and the coach, I can tell you that. I went home all fired up to watch that 49er game.
I went and played baseball myself.
I know. I'm just glad you didn't blow out your elbow. I was worried about that. I got to be honest. Almost like a father, I was worried you were going to blow out your elbow.
Hey, I'm in shape right now. I'm in decent shape. Through 2 innings, I was the only pitcher to throw up zeros. Not bad for a kid that doesn't usually pitch.
Not bad at all. Hey, we need to take a timeout. When we come back, a guy that's been working on this story not only today but for several weeks, Scott Miller, national baseball writer, Bleacher Report, will join us next right here on San Diego's number one sports radio program and station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, I know my next guest is going to know exactly who this artist is. We're heading out once again to our SDCCU fan hotline. We're joined by national baseball writer who's been a very, very busy boy today. From Bleacher Report, Scott Miller joins me on 97.3 The Fan. You know who that artist is, right?
Oh, Billy Squire. How could I not?
good middle infielder, right?
That's right. I think so.
Well, hey, Scotty, I know you've been it is Billy Squire, just for fans out there that aren't familiar with his work, but Let's face it, Rob Manfred today became the present day Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis by landing these penalties down on the Houston Astros and their manager and general manager and one of their front office employees.
Yeah, no question, Coach. Just an extraordinary, extraordinary day in Major League Baseball. We haven't seen anything like it. Yeah, for those that have not been plugged in at all today, yeah, MLB ruled on the digital sign-stealing caper that the Astros concocted back in 2017. And, yeah, baseball suspended GM Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch, as you said, for an entire season. They fined the Astros $5 million, the maximum allowable under the MLB Constitution. They stripped the Astros of their first and second round picks in both 20 and 2021. And then Brandon Taubman, who was fired during the World Series, he's the guy that was screaming at those female reporters in the clubhouse. They placed him on the ineligible list, the, I guess, permanently suspended list. And then, as if all of that wasn't enough, not long after MLB suspensions came down or punishment came down, Houston owner Jim Crane had a press conference in Houston, and he took the Luhnow and Hinch one-year suspensions a step further and fired both of them. So the Astros right now are an organization in complete chaos right now. No general manager, no manager. And Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch both are suspended from baseball for this upcoming season. And then afterwards, they're apparently, you know, they're free agents. They're no longer employed by the Astros.
Scott Miller joining us from the Bleacher Report on our SDCCU fan hotline. I want to get back to Houston in a minute. But if you're the Boston Red Sox, and namely Alex Cora, you're a little worried right now?
Yeah, I think my sources are telling me, and I've been on deadline in the last couple hours, as I'm sure you know. You know, once this came out, I don't know. My column for Bleacher Report will be up any minute now. But, yeah, one of the things I wrote in there, to your point, yes, I think Alex Cora's suspension will be at least as long, probably longer, than the 1 year that A.J. Hinch got. And and people in baseball also, people I've spoken with today have indicated they won't be surprised, you know, if Cora is fired by the Red Sox, just like A.J. Hinch just was, because – yeah, this is in Commissioner Manfred's 9-page report, very damning information on Alex Cora. In the report, the baseball says Cora was involved in the trash can banging, sign stealing thing in 2017 is what we're talking about, where the Astros stole opponent's signs and then relayed them in real time to the dugout. Somebody in the dugout was banging on trash can, you know, for when an off-speed pitch was coming, so the hitter would know, okay, this is an off-speed pitch coming or this is a fastball coming. So that whole scheme in Manfred's report today says Cora was involved in developing both the trash can banging scheme and utilizing the replay review room to decode and transmit signs.
Unbelievable.
Cora participated in both schemes and through his active participation implicitly condoned the player's conduct. I will withhold determining the appropriate level of discipline for Cora until after the Department of Investigation completes its investigation of the allegations that the Red Sox engaged in impermissible electronic sign stealing in 2018 while he was their manager. So, yeah, I mean, they flat out say, like, this is one of Alex Cora's brainchilds. And, you know, whereas A.J. Hinch, in the report, it says Hinch neither devised the banging scheme nor participated in it. He told investigators that he did not support his players decoding signs and using the monitor installed near the dugout and banging the trash can, and that he believed that the conduct was both wrong and distracting, and the report says Hinch attempted to signal his disapproval of it by physically damaging the monitor on a couple of occasions, necessitating its replacement. So where Hinch is concerned, he, according to the report, did not condone what his team was doing, and did damage the monitor a couple of times, but he did, he stopped short of stopping what they were doing. Whereas Cora, who was Hinch's bench coach in 2017, this whole thing apparently, you know, he was one of the main instigators in it. And then he went on to the Red Sox in 2018, and that team is accused of doing some digital cheating. So I think Cora, you're right. Red Sox may as well start interviews for a new manager right now.
last question regarding Boston. They're going to run the investigation. We'll see where that goes. But Dave Dombrowski, who was the GM and, you know, head of baseball operation, he got fired, you know, after the All-Star break last year towards the end of the season. He's out of a job right now. Depending on what they find in this investigation, you know, who knows where he may end up again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I would say it'll be very interesting to see what they find in the investigation because, I mean, Dave Dombrowski, obviously a long and storied career in baseball, and he was a general manager of, you know, multiple clubs over the years, and he's never had any whiff of scandal or anything attached to his name. So,
right.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if he knew anything about it or didn't know anything about it. And also be interesting to me to see if baseball ends up helping bring Dave Dombrowski back. I mean, I'm not saying Dombrowski's going to be the next GM of the Houston Astros, nothing like that. But, you know, baseball's got certain guys like Sandy Alderson, you know, right now working the commissioner, you know, Tony La Russa's one. The baseball will try kind of move around to place in different spots when they need some trustworthy longtime guy to help prop up a team. And, you know, I'd be interested to see if Dombrowski gets stained by this or if conversely he'll end up escaping unscathed and then be a guy that, you know, lands somewhere again.
Hey, Scotty, I want to go back to Boston, or excuse me, to Houston. We're joined by Scott Miller, our national baseball writer for Bleacher Report on our SDCCU fan hotline. I said, now, if they're going to bring in a new manager, they're going to bring in a new general manager as well. And one, you know, may not be in place by spring training. We'll have to wait and see what direction they're going to go. They're going to promote from within. They're going to go out and look at other baseball people from other organizations. I said, if you want to bring in one person, there will at least start moving things in a positive manner with the media and just his integrity of the game and who he is and how he deals with people. Jim Crane ought to be on the phone, or maybe I should have already been on the phone to talk with Bruce Bochy and see if there's any possibility at all that he, considering this situation, would be willing to take over the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I think, you know, no question, Bochy is respected around the game as much as anybody, and it wouldn't hurt the Astros to do that. You know, conversely, I think, you know, as we've talked about, you and I in the past, recent past, I'm sure, Coach, you know, when Bochy retired from the Giants, he promised his wife and family, I'm going to be home for the year, and they've got vacation plans and things like that, and Bochy left it that, you know, maybe he could come back to managing, but first, he has to take a year off and recharge his batteries and then see if he misses it and if it's an itch that needs scratching. And, you know, I know the Padres, you know, checked with Bochy when they were naming their manager last October and November just to make sure. They felt like, hey, we should at least exhaust the Bruce Bochy opportunity in case he would want to come manage. And, you know, Bochy told them the same thing that, you know, we've heard, like, hey, thanks for checking, but I'm definitely taking the year off. So yeah, whether, you know, it wouldn't hurt the Astros to check. You know, who knows? Maybe after a winter off, he's already tired of not managing.
Well, you know, I know they'd be devastated in France since he's going to be the World Baseball manager Team France,
yeah,
who've never qualified. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see where that goes. But, hey, Scotty, as always, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate you coming on short notice, and I'll look forward to going online as soon as I get off the air to read the article.
Appreciate it. And, yeah, I was at the Scouts dinner on Friday talking with former Team Israel manager Brad Osmus about Bruce Bochy coaching Team France in the next WBC. So that was a fun conversation. Take care, Coach. I know you're on up against it.
All righty, Scotty. Thank you so much. Again, Scott Miller joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline and all of our guests on the San Diego County Credit Union. I want to remind everyone they've got great low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, give them a call at 8.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
77-SDCCU for you, or visit SDCCU.com. Well, we're going to switch gears. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the national championship game tonight between LSU and the Clemson Tigers. Dan Wolkin from USA Today will join me next right here on the John Quintero Show on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .238 the time, going to the top of the hour. It'll be Gwen and Chris. We'll be back in, of course, tomorrow at 12 to 3 and breaking it all down. And we'll probably get back to kind of what we were going to do today. Talk a little bit about Fan Fest and talk about the national championship game. That'll be in the books. And we're going to talk right now about it as we head out once again to our SDCCU fan hotline. We're joined by an outstanding writer, Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Nice enough to join us for a few minutes. And you heading out to the stadium?
I've been here for almost 2 hours already.
Have you? Well, hopefully they're feeding you well before kickoff.
Yeah, they got some gumbo out, so, you know, we'll kind of munch on that till the game starts.
Hey, Dan, what's the atmosphere been like down there the last couple of days?
A lot of fans. I mean, everyone likes coming to New Orleans, and you know, LSU people are obviously right around here, a lot of them, and Clemson folks have come in as well, so ton of people. I mean, it's a de facto home game for LSU, and whenever you get a championship game in New Orleans, it's just crawling with people because it's a great place to have a party for a big game like this.
Last I saw, the line was about 5.5, and I don't normally look at lines. I actually kind of saw it by accident. A lot of people not giving Clemson a whole lot of love here. How do you see this going tonight?
Yeah, I think it's hard for me anyway to pick against LSU just because of how their offense has performed on a game-by-game basis all year long. They have not had a bad game. And the only thing that I think could really mess their rhythm up is just the two-week break. That's a wild card in this game that I don't know how they're going to react to. But if they're as sharp as they were in the Peach Bowl and the SEC Championship game, look, I think Clemson's really good, and Brent Venables is arguably the best defensive coordinator in the country, but this is not a team that's as talented on the defensive side as they were a year ago, not as big and bruising up front. And I just think it's going to put a lot of stress on their defense. Clemson will be able to score as well, but I just think it's too tough to slow down LSU.
Dan Wolkin, USA Today, joining us on our SDCCU hotline. Travis Etienne, I would certainly think he's going to play a big part in this ball game. The one thing Clemson's going to want to do is try to keep the ball away from Joe Burrow and that offense. And, you know, they may run him a few times, but he's also a pretty good back coming out of the backfield and catching passes.
Yeah, look, I think when they lined up against Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, They didn't think they could run the ball conventionally. And so they used Etienne as a receiver, and they used Trevor Lawrence as a runner. And that's what they felt they had to do to win. And that's the nice thing, I think, about their offense, their system, their coaches, and their personnel, is they feel like they can be versatile enough to win a bunch of different ways. And I'll be curious to see what they feel like they can do against this LSU team. And, you know, it might be throwing to Etienne out of the backfield, or maybe he's able to run the ball. And I think, you know, if you're Clemson, you probably want to have some long drives in this game, slow the pace down a little bit, and not give the ball back to Joe Burrow quickly if you can.
You know, Dan, it's going to be interesting tonight. You know, most people project Burrow to be the number one pick in the 2020 draft. A lot of people right now predict that Trevor Lawrence, and a lot of things can happen between now and then, but he'd be the number one guy taken in the draft in 2021. You got a team in Clemson that's won 29 in a row, and you got a coach that's won two of the last three national championships. Do you give Dabo Swinney any kind of, even a small advantage in coaching tonight over Ed Orgeron?
Well, look, I think that the Clemson staff has proven over and over again that they know how to prepare a team in the playoff. And I think that's a very specific skill, because, you know, it is the end of a long season. You play a tough, bruising game in the semifinals, and then you got to know, you know, how to bring it back for a championship game, another tough opponent. You know, how much do you push? How much do you rest? There's also just the game planning and preparation. And I go back to last year, at the beginning of that championship game against Alabama, you know, Venables threw a coverage at Alabama at Tua Tagovailoa that was not what they expected, given the way they lined up. They baited Tagovailoa into throwing an interception. It was a pick six. And then in a way, it sort of set the tone for the game. And while, yes, it's the players making the plays, that was a huge coaching win. And I just have a lot of confidence in this Clemson staff that they're going to have their team as ready to play their best as possible. It's just a matter of whether it's good enough.
Hey, Dan, do you think this is going to be a high scoring game, or, you know, 17-14, 21-17? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be that low scoring. I mean, both these teams are very dynamic and are going to have opportunities to push the ball down the field. And there's probably going to be a couple quick drives in there. I don't know if they're both in the 40s, but if they're not both in the 30s, I'd be surprised.
I don't know if they've put out the little play card on who the officials are, but do you know what conference the officials are from tonight by any chance?
Yeah, they're from the Pac-12. They have not they've not released the names yet, but they announced from the beginning that it was a Pac-12 crew, because it's one crew that or to the league that was not in the playoffs. So that's typically how it goes.
What do you think it's going to take for Clemson to be able to win this football game tonight? What area is going to have to really shine for them?
Well, I think they're going to have to get a couple turnovers, and I know that's a simplistic answer, but the LSU's just been so dangerous that I think it's matching them score for score is not going to be easy. So can they generate an extra possession here or there? And also, I think red zone. I mean, first of all, Clemson does not have a very good field goal kicker. LSU's got the advantage there. And, you know, and you look at Clemson's defense, they've been great in the red zone. I think both teams, you can't really settle for field goals in this game. So whoever executes better in the red zone, and if Clemson gets a turnover or two, they're going to have a much better chance.
Yeah, I know you're a busy man. Really appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the game, and look forward to reading the paper tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Dan Wolkin, great columnist, and covers college football for USA Today, already in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down there in New Orleans. Braden, how are you seeing this game tonight? A lot of people not giving Clemson their due, but, man, this team's won 29 in a row. This quarterback has never lost a college game, and he showed me a lot of toughness in that last game. I'm not writing Clemson off in this game tonight by any stretch of the imagination.
I like Clemson in this game, to be honest with you, because as great as Joe Burrow is and the quarterback play is, it's more than just a quarterback. And the defensive line for Clemson is going to be one of the best defensive lines that LSU has faced all year. The defense for Clemson is one of the best against the passing attack all season in college football. It's going to come down to this. Can Clemson pressure Joe Burrow and give him fits? That's what it's going to come down to, because if Burrow's got time to throw, He's going to light that team up like he does every other team. But I want to see Joe Burrow
under
duress.
He hasn't even had to move around a lot back there.
No, not really. I mean, there's a couple times where he ran out of the pocket, and people are like, oh, look, he can avoid tacklers. But the defensive ends for Oklahoma that game had no edge. I mean, they looked like J.J. Watt yesterday for the Houston Texans, which, by the way, he killed them on so many drives, just losing contain. When you don't have an edge guy, Coach, I know you coach football. I coach football. If I have to ask the question, where's our edge? That means we got something really bad happening.
Well, he was playing his own game yesterday.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, with
he
Joe
didn't
Burrow,
Junior Seau, let's put it that way.
Well, he looked like he hadn't played football in 4 years, is what he looked like.
I didn't think he played real well the week before, even though he had a sack in that game. He had quarterback pressure. I didn't think he played real well in the first playoff game.
You could tell that he missed a lot of games. And he was trying to get back into football shape. And you can be in shape as much as you want. You can lift and you can exercise.
Oh, you can look good on the beach, but it doesn't mean you can play.
It doesn't mean you're in football shape.
Right.
But to go back to tonight's game, you got to have some pressure, and you can't let him leak out of the pocket. You can't let him, Joe Burrow, create space. You can't let him try to, make plays downfield. And the other thing, too, is, I mean, they're going to have their hands full with the receiving core for LSU, but this is the best defense that LSU is going to face all season. This Clemson team knows how to win. They've been there before. It's going to be a road game for Clemson, but they don't seem fazed by it. Trevor Lawrence is calm, cool, and collected back there, and he's like a kid playing football.
Sweeney's been bitching all week about having to play at the Superdome.
Right, exactly, especially when they have to hold their practices in their hotel and LSU's holding practices at the Saints facility. But I like Clemson in this. I think people have ruled them out since they went to overtime with North Carolina on the road. And since that happened, they gave them no shot to win any game the rest of the year. Or, I mean, not really win every game the rest of the year, but they had no shot to win a playoff game, and they had no shot to potentially win a national championship. And I don't know how you could be the 3 seed and fly under the radar when you haven't lost a game in 2 years, but here we are.
I don't think I'm going to make a pick on this game. I'm picking
Clemson.
I think if I was, I would probably have to pick LSU, but for some reason, for a team that's won 2 of the last 3 national championships, people are just writing this team off, and it kind of ticks me off a little bit. These guys aren't getting more respect.
The disrespect. There's so much disrespect. It's because they're in the ACC, and they're not in the SEC, and they're not flashy, and they just kind of do their thing.
Well, they got a couple guys who are going to be first-round draft picks this year and next year.
They got a really good football team, but they don't get the respect that they deserve. I don't know why. I mean, they're not as sexy on film as maybe LSU is.
And thanks again to Dan Wolken from USA Today stopping by, and we appreciate kind of on short notice. We wanted to track him down early this morning. Braden did a good job of going after him. And again, all of our guests on the John Quintero Show via the SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For more details, give them a call at 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. I do want to mention here as we wind down and we turn it on to Gwen and Chris at the top of the hour. The Aztecs stayed number 7 in the AP poll this week. They do climb up one notch to number 6 in the coaches poll. They're going to be playing tomorrow night at Save Mart Center up there in Fresno State. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We're going to get to our Hang a Star play of the day here in just a minute.
John McClain from the Houston Chronicle will be joining us on Thursday.
Oh, John McClain, boy, he's a Hall of Fame football writer right there. And be able to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame as well. And we'll get into a lot of that stuff tomorrow. We got taken off course today with all this news coming down on the Houston Astros. Let's get out to Sean in San Diego. Sean, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing real well, Coach. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, no problem. I just had a question. It actually was addressed when you were talking to the gentleman who just interviewed. It has to do with I guess you hadn't heard because you didn't know what conference was doing the refereeing. It's Pac-12. Had you heard about the Pac-12 being criticized in about there was a game that was between Washington State and Cal, and that was one game they were criticized over? I guess they were what they call downgraded. I mean, I guess it's an internal word that's used for how they rate them or whatnot.
Right. Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. The Pac-12 officiating, you talk to a lot of people. They got a lot of problems. It wasn't only this year. This is going back 2 or 3 years. It's been a constant problem.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that. Okay, Coach. Well, I was just wondering about that. I do appreciate your time.
All right, thank you, Sean. You have a great day. Look forward to hearing from you again. Let's get out to our play of the day, because we got an interesting play of the day right now. Go ahead and roll it, Braden.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star play of the day.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
A 97.3 The Fan.
Snap on target, and the Texans block it. It's loose at the 10-yard line. Lottie to the right side, the 5. He's in! Touchdown, Houston! A special team score!
That was the Hang a Star play of the day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, it got off to a good start yesterday for the Houston Texans, didn't it?
That was about the the last best news for any Houston fan this weekend.
They give up 41 straight points. I mean, 41 straight points. How does that happen in an NFL playoff game?
What about getting outscored 51-7? 51-7 down the stretch.
You got to wonder, what was Kansas City doing at the beginning of the game? Are they just and thinking they were going to win that game by running out there in Kansas City Chief uniforms?
And they're knocking the rust off after having a week off.
Knocking the rust off. Love it.
It's been a long time since they played.
Okay, now here's a guy sitting to my right now. If he knew a fastball was coming, he wouldn't be sitting to my right now. He'd still be in the cage getting ready for spring training, but he's going to be coming up at the top of the hour with his colleague, Chris Ello. Mr. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are we doing today?
Coach, how are you?
I'm doing a lot better than A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, and I would imagine I'm feeling a hell of a lot better than Alex Cora is going to feel here in a few weeks when he gets his penalty set down.
Yeah, no, it certainly doesn't look good for Alex at all, based on...
Dead man walking.
I mean, based on what the owner for the Astros came out and did right away, kind of puts the ball in the Red Sox court at this point. And I have a hard time seeing them not letting Alex Cora go at this point.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I was saying earlier, if you want to bring back some credibility to your organization, you get on the phone and you call Bruce Bochy, because Bochy, at least the man of integrity that he is, you bring him in as a skipper, but again, he's probably going to sit out the entire year.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what he wants to do for him.
That's what his wife wants him to do.
He's in the spot where he kind of wants to kind of recharge, spend some time with
his
family.
Well, he's also trying to work out the depth chart for Team France right now.
That too. He's got some extra things on his plate now. But, no, certainly there's going to be some huge holes to fill when I think this
Maybe it'll become a bidding war for with Boston and Houston for Bruce Bochy's services in the 2020 season.
Yeah, I doubt it. I wouldn't want to jump right back in with.
Well, if they want to pay you about $8 million.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could hold them ransom and get as much as you possibly could. They're in no position to turn you down. But that's going to be a black eye, and it's not. Some of those players are going to face backlash around the league from other players too. I think this is going to stretch far beyond just that organization, because those guys have moved. Some of those guys have moved on to different places. People will have that, pitchers, hitters will have that same look at that they had in their eye when steroids was rolling around a little bit. So it's going to be an interesting 2020 season.
Well, if you knew only a fastball was coming, if they could break it down to where only a fastball was coming, boy, it can make you a lot better hitter. You still got to hit it.
No doubt.
But you know what? It makes you a lot better hitter when you can eliminate every other pitch.
Not only that, though, they had it dwindled down to exact off speed.
It's unbelievable.
The normal way is
deviance.
You decipher the signs, and then it's fastball off speed. It's not fastball, definite curveball.
Or a changeup.
Definite changeup. None of that.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
I mean, they're putting a lot of hours in trying to decode that. I mean, a lot of hours.
If you read that report, they clearly had a whole scheme planned up. So it's going to be this is big.
Hey, we got about a minute and a half before I'm going to hand the baton over to you and Chris. What do you guys got coming up? You got a big 4-hour show today. And by the way, Lakers, how about the win on the two back-to-back wins and the second
two without AD, one without LeBron?
Yeah, but the second game they were out AD, LeBron, and Avery Bradley.
That's
three
right.
of the five starters didn't even play.
And this is the perfect time for Kyle Kuzma to show up as he has.
He did.
This has been. This
How about Rondo? He actually looked like Rondo of about 5 years ago.
He did, but I'm concerned about this strained finger, man. This guy's finger is always. They're so long and alien like, they get hurt all the time.
That's true. Hey, real quick, give me what you guys got coming up on the show. I know Scraby's been down here working quite a bit today.
Yeah. Jerry Harrison Jr. is going to come on with us today, talk a little bit about the suspensions handed down to the Astros. Channing Crowder, talk a little bit NFL playoffs.
Oh, good.
Some really good games over the weekend. Another.
He's a radio.com guy, isn't he? Right.
Absolutely. And then Curry Heelan's going to come on around the 520 segment and talk a little NBA basketball.
Okay,
we got a
national
championship game tonight, too.
Oh, I know. we just finally talked about it. We've been so busy today. Hey, I want to thank everyone for calling in today, and I want to get our final big Grand Slam giveaway keyword out right now. It's snow, S-N-O-W. Text SNOW to 72881 for your chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. For Adam Klug, for Braden Soprano, Coach John Quintero, we'll be back in tomorrow at high noon. Have a great day, everyone, and enjoy the ball game tonight. Bye-bye. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.